Welcome to the Lucra Podcast. I'm your host, Mindy Kinnis. My goal is to fan the flame of the dream in your heart. As my guests and I share our journeys on the path to success, you'll get an insider's look at how we got to where we are and the beliefs that create our reality. When you follow your heart path to ignite your mind and delight your spirit, you can create a lucrative life of freedom and purpose. Enjoy the show. Hey, my friends, I am back with another amazing guest for you today. This is my friend, Siobhan Moran. I am so stoked for you all to get to know her a little bit. I've had the pleasure of meeting her at various events. We were just trying to figure out, like, what was that first event that we met at? I still don't know what the answer is, but she is amazing. Siobhan, thank you so much for joining us today.
Aw, thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm super excited about this convo. As I was mentioning to you, you and I have a lot in common, and I can't wait to just kind of dig in and talk about all of this. So because I know you a little bit, but my audience may not, I'd love to kind of give them a bit of the brushstrokes, kind of the broad picture of your money evolution.
Oh, gosh. I'm going to make this really quick, but it will make so much sense if I start where I start.
It
sounds like I'm starting at birth, but
you can start wherever you want to start.
But my parents told me, when I told them I wanted to have a sweater that was more than my budget was allowed. I mean, we had an account at some stores in a little tiny town. And apparently it was more than my budget was allowed. Let's say it was $99. I'm not so sure. And they said, if you can figure out how to earn it, you can have it. And I thought, oh, okay, I don't know what to do. And I think I pontificated on that for a couple of weekends. And then somehow I got a bug in my ear that I needed to go mow the lawn of the lady down the street. Now, I didn't know that she needed her lawn mowed, but I did ride by on my bike regularly and thought, oh, her grass seems to keep getting longer. And so I went and knocked on the door, well, you know, maybe like 70. And I'm 11. I was like, do you need your lawn mowed? So that was the first, that was my first client.
And your first step is
I actually started a lawn mow. That's right. I started a lawn mowing route that actually was pretty good size, actually, until I was about 15. And
that's
then
awesome.
And then I sold it to my brother. I sold it to my brother for a t-shirt.
I love this story.
Right? And then the second thing I did as a, you know, as having my own money and doing my own thing, because that's a little addictive to be like, okay, you can have anything you want if you can earn it. And I thought,
figure out how to pay
for
it. That's awesome.
That's exactly right. And then the second one was, you know, I was delivering things on my bicycle. And long before it was really cool to have, you know, all of these delivery services. And I was just delivering stuff to people on my bicycle, and I was getting paid bank, man. I was getting paid big bank. And then the third thing that I did was, this is really bizarre, but I had forgotten about this story until fairly recently. And I was taught to code computers when I was 14. I was getting in trouble.
That's amazing.
And my mom said, we're going to take you and you're going to go and enroll in this school. And I was like, okay. And so I got enrolled in this school. I was good at it. And maybe by the time I was 16, this guy who had these 100-some Arby's franchises, he hired me to come in and do things, you know, coding things, right? And next thing you know, he's making me controller of 100 Arby's back-end franchises. And I thought, who gets that at 16? Like, what fool gives a 16-year-old that kind of power, right? And, you know, I mean, truth be told, I was kind of a stoner. So,
oh, I love this story even more now. This is hilarious. I didn't even know these things.
Right. And so I did all these things. And after I'd been doing the thing with the guy and his Arby franchises, I thought, you know what? I'm too young for this. This is not fun. I'm not doing this crap. So I go off to college and do a bunch of things. And fast forward, I come to California. I work for this guy There were like 12 of us when I started in this very big building, and he was doing manufacturing for computer accessories, the first kind of ergonomics in computer accessories. And we grew that to about $140 or $150 million, and we sold that to Rubbermaid.
Oh, nice.
And I remember thinking, as that whole transaction was happening, I remember thinking, I've got about 18 months before those corporate people do those corporate-y things, and then they're going to like take all my fun away. I remember thinking that, and I thought, I got to get out at 12, and I'm going to find another one of these. Now they're called entrepreneurs. I don't know that it was called that then, but so I did that four more times, and I helped businesses who had a few employees, and I helped explode them up and get sold. And, you know, buy and sell and all kinds of really VC and all kinds of really interesting things, create systems. You know, I got to create really cool systems that, you know, I mean, I would build something for like $50,000 and then they'd value it at like $2.5 million because of how cool it was all put together. And, you know, just really cool things like that. And then, you know, I had a big loss in my life, and then I nearly died from blood poisoning.
Hold on. We can't just like jump right over the big loss and the blood poisoning near death experience. Like, it's sort of a big deal. So let's just expand that part a little bit.
So, I moved to California. Within a very short amount of time, I met somebody who told me he was going to marry me, and I said, absolutely not. And 5.5 years later, he died in a motorcycle accident. And so I was not on a trajectory to do anything like what I'm doing, not even close. I was in the business building thing. That was true. As soon as he died, my brain did this within 7 days. My brain did this of, okay, I have nothing left to lose. There's nothing left. I have nothing left. And that was just a blank slate. And what my brain started to do, like many people who have great losses, is it started to try to do two things. One, to create something different. And then two, to create a sequence of problems in my body because I was shutting down. And I didn't know I was. I was walking around, I mean, high functioning, I was selling stuff, I was growing businesses, I was doing really cool things. So that really was a pivot that allowed me to do what I do, except that I ended up in the emergency room because I'd been walking around with sepsis. I don't know if you know what sepsis is, but it's usually lethal.
It's a huge, huge issue. Like most people are not walking around with sepsis.
Exactly. And I had been apparently walking around with it for 7 months.
What?
And yeah, so I was dragged into the emergency room because I didn't like doctors.
Right. But at that point, it's like, we're past that. You need to get some something.
Yeah. But I didn't realize that here's something that's true about a lot of people. I didn't realize that my body wasn't behaving in a normal way. I was really certain about that something was off, but I didn't know that that wasn't normal. And that's really true about a lot of high performers. And that's really true about a lot of entrepreneurs, really a lot of entrepreneurs, interestingly, right? So I get dragged into the ER and they said, hey, lady, we got to give you some drugs. And I was laying there and I'm a year and a half from the death of my husband. And I was laying there thinking, okay, you didn't leave me here to die. Okay, I'll take the drugs. I'll agree to it. That's fine. Huh. Okay. All right. I'm not here to die. Okay. All right. I know what I'm going to do. And I had no idea, but I just knew that I was going home. And I was building a pharmaceutical company at the time. Conflict. Pharmaceutical company, don't believe in drugs. Problem.
Siobhan, this is so great because I used to work for a pharmaceutical company and I'm similar in that mindset as you. Yeah. And I understand.
Yeah. And I decided while I was laying there and they were preparing the concoction that's going to save my life, I decided if I can grow companies, I can heal my body. Honest to God, I did not know what that meant. I had no clue. I had not any basis for this other than that's what my brain said. And so I went home and I laid on my sofa for 2 months and I healed myself. And that's kind of the genesis of the entrepreneur stuff of I was doing it for others. Then I realized that there was something else. And I had this thing of I have no, nothing left to lose, so I'm gonna do whatever I need to do.
Yeah, I get that. There's a song by Pink, and there's a lyric in there where she says something to the effect of like, I've already seen the bottom, so there's nothing else left. Like that is. And you have felt that. I have felt that in our losses, and I totally understand that. I do need to ask you though about the, and then I healed myself. Could you let us in on any little hack or whatever? What were you doing to create that experience for your body?
So the process I went through, if I really re and you know, it's easy to look back, right? The process I went through was I was actually decoding my code of how the body works,
Of
even
course,
though
you would
I,
do that.
right, of course I would do that. And I started thinking about, well, how did I help my salespeople get motivated and go out and break records? How did I get into stores that would never consider anything that we were ever offering? How did I get businesses that, or how did I get VCs to fund the different businesses? Oh, because they weren't finding anybody, especially a woman, especially a woman.
Right.
And how did I get, and how did I take these nuggets of an idea and really get them to really blow up into something really wonderful and monumental? And I started to think about, well, this is how you think, right? And then there's this other key thing, and this came from my late husband. And he told me a story that kept ringing in my brain. Because blood, sepsis is blood poisoning. And that means every cell of your blood is actually lethal and every cell can kill you. And I remember this story he said that happened when he was a kid that his grandmother took him to the ocean when he had gangrene going up his leg after he'd stepped on something. And she made him stay in the ocean, freezing cold ocean, according to him. All day, and that when he woke up the next day, he didn't have it.
Wow.
And so my brain thinks ocean, water. Yes, we actually, water is important. I was a water geek when I was a kid, meaning I had to drink a lot of water. I didn't drink other things, interestingly, weirdly. The other thing about water was to take baths with salt long before it was a cool thing to do. And so I started to do all of these things and really just started to rework how the muscles work and how the brain works and how it thinks about something and how energy is. Now I'm going to say that, how energy is. And I started thinking about how energy is because I heard something on the radio that said, if you understand energy, just this little phrase, if you understand energy, and if you're listening to this, you probably do, which, like, what? Some random phrase. Then, if you solve the energy, the body will heal in accordance with the energy. And I started thinking about, well, how did I work energy all my life? I apparently had been thinking about energy since I was a kid. And dealing with how people were, how I was sensitive and how I dealt with them in particularly unique ways. And I took all those particularly unique ways and I started applying those to my body and healing. And so that's, you know, it was a long process and it was very minute and intricate. But I decided that, you know, I wasn't just left here to do nothing. I was here for this. I was here to just heal my body and then see what happened.
Well, yeah, and then a lot has happened. So let's talk about that. Tell us a little bit about your work No, I love everything that you're doing. I was just scoping your website a little while ago.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yes, yes, and yes. So talk to me about your work today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that was an evolution of, if I can do it for me, then I need to repeat it and make sure that it's repeatable. Scientist, right?
Exactly.
It has to be repeatable. And so I started one clinic and then two clinics and three clinics and four clinics and, you know, clinics all over. And these are free clinics, by the way. It was free at the time. Make a donation and, you know, we did well. But the point of that was to make sure that it was repeatable and that obviously there's a market. You know, this is business. I'm a business person. And so it wasn't until somebody said, I want to pay you a lot of money to fix me the way you talk about you fixing you. And I thought, pay me a lot of money, but I make a lot of money over here. I don't need that. And so what I decided at the time was anybody who paid me, I was actually going to pay it forward. And, you know, these are principles that are basic fundamental laws of life and universe that I just lived. And so that started, and I worked with, you know, over 15,000 people, a lot, apparently. I didn't know that was a lot. I came from building. I know. It's funny when I think about, well, I say 15,000, I'm kind of embarrassed because it's not a lot because my brain believes 150,000 is a lot. That's kind of hilarious.
It's still a lot.
It is a lot. I get it. I actually get it. And it wasn't until one of the people in the last few years of me doing that said, do you know that me and my friends come to you? And I was like, you and your friends? I didn't. She was like, oh yeah, we found out because we know you and you all help us because of your shoes. I'm kind of known for shoes. So they figured out they were all working with me because they were like the long blonde haired lady with the shoes. It's like, okay, that's hilarious. But they all decided that I needed to understand that I was helping them make a lot of money, like millions of dollars. And I thought, she's wanting me to hear this. You have to pay attention. And so I started to look back at all the files of people and I thought, oh, that is in every single person's story. Even if I was working on their health and their energy, the money always became a big factor, a big improvement. And it's when I started to think about, well, healers are amazing. I have a school for this, right? So, but there's so much more to it than anybody ever thinks that we need to really look at how businesses work and how to heal the business and the CEO and how the fundamental processes of insanity become sane for business. So yeah, so that's kind of the genesis.
I freaking love it. I love it so much. Let me ask you this, because this is something that I ask every single guest on this show, and I'm super curious about your version or your response to this, but what is wealth to you? How would you define wealth for yourself?
Probably different than most people.
That's what I'm anticipating.
Wealth for me is to be of value and service to as many people as possible. Now, I even get choked up thinking about that because that's wealth to me. That means that I get to share something I know and I've been able to help a lot of people with their health, their money, their relationships, you know, as many people as I can. Wealth is being able to think clearly, think deeply, and not fall into the traps of the norms of drama and trauma and the dredges of whatever society is going through. You know, wealth for me is energy. How much energy is it that is emanating from me that somebody can get value and benefit from? I was sitting at a mastermind meeting a few days ago. I hadn't seen the guy in about 10 years. And he looked at me and he said, you know, nearly interrupted the room. And he said, Siobhan, I haven't seen you in 10 years and you don't look a day older.
You don't, and actually, since I met you.
Oh, thanks. And I was like, dude, energy. It's all the energy stuff. If I'm doing my work right, then I am being true to the stuff that I use and that I can help others use. And that for me is wealth. I mean, time, but it's really wealth is being connected to source, you know? And then the money all comes.
Right, right, right. Yes, yes, and yes. Huh. With all of these tons and tons of people that you have worked with, and then recognizing that same issue, challenge, whatever it might be, that then culminates after your work in them having more money, what are some of the things that you found were similarities in either what they were struggling with, or maybe more importantly for our audience, is what was the solution? What was the linchpin to help them get from maybe struggle bus to abundance?
Yeah. One of the things that I have seen persistently and consistency is there is always a health issue that is affecting a money issue, no matter what.
Ooh, okay.
One, every single time I have tried to disprove it out of case after case after case. I have a guy that I'm working with that I'm helping sort out his business while we're preparing it to get sold. And he came to me and he's like, I think you can help me in a lot of ways in my business, but I think you're the one who can help me with my health and my business. And nobody can do that.
Right.
And I get to do both. I get to do all of that. And they are synonymous. They are 100% linked and synonymous. And what we do as anybody who has an idea and they need a lot of prosperity, or anybody who has a big idea and they have more prosperity, the same thing that happens, and you can see this, if you look around the industry, you can see there's always a break in the health. There's always, always a break in the health. And then something has to get solved. But there's not enough of the work on the physical, the mental, the emotional, the spiritual, relational, and financial simultaneously. And that's the unique aspect of where I play. Because it's all energy. But if you don't play with all of those pieces together, then there will be the highs and lows and highs and lows. And so those are always linked together. So if we're going after money, we're going to have a health challenge. If we're going after health only, we're going to have a money challenge. It is invariably linked in a very intrinsic way.
Not surprising by any means that all of these things are connected, and that you would be able to see that, especially over the numbers of people that you saw and just taking notes and watching what happens with them. That totally makes sense to me. You know, to me, I call a lot of these people, let's say the more successful people in the industry, rich at work, but broke at heart. It's like outside, exterior, they've got it going on. They're successful. Everybody's like, oh my gosh, I would love to be that person. But then what's going on in their health body or in their health of their relationship? And as you said, it's something that is intricately weaving all of that kind of interior mess. So I appreciate that so much. I have a question for you that I want to walk you through this framework, really to get to know some of the things that you do that maybe our audience might be able to do or replicate to have some of the results that you have had. And it's based on an acronym called HERB, H-E-R-B. So I'll walk you through each part. The H is habits. What are some of your habits that either create productivity, success, whatever, good feelings? What are your habits?
Oh, I love that. So I'm always doing something physical. There's always a physical component. Right now I'm into yoga, like overdoing yoga. I'm
just overdoing it.
For a while I was walking 10 miles a day. For a little while before that, I was riding my bike 24 miles. You know, I was just doing, you know,
something extreme, apparently.
Something a lot. I mean, I just wanted to, you know, so you talk about wealth. I think you have to have energy from the inside and you have to have energy on the outside. They have to play together. So I wake up really early and it's not by choice. Weirdly, it's not by choice. As soon as there's light out, my brain says, okay, time to go. Let's go. Chop, chop.
It's ready. The day is starting.
Exactly. And I have a ritual, no matter where I am in the world, of a particular cup of tea. Doesn't have to be the cup, it just has to be a particular tea. No matter where I am in the world, it is always, it's an anchor. It's an anchor that no matter what I have, it's going to be the catalyst for the beauty of the day.
What is this type of
And
tea?
let's see, Mighty Leaf white tea or something, I don't know, something
Okay,
like that.
nice.
It's really just the ritual. It has fragrance. It has all of the senses, the air, earth, water, and fire. It has them
Yep,
all
the
together in
heat,
that
the
one.
water. Yep, I get it.
Exactly. Exactly. And then of course I do meditation. I do one of the protocols of energy stuff that I do. I really set the day of looking about what is it that I can make sure I am doing a touchstone on about prosperity. Why? Because most people do it once and try to let it carry them through.
Totally.
And prosperity has to be about what is something that you're doing to make sure you stay in tune with it and in touch with it. It doesn't have to be a lot. Just a little touchstone. And because I teach it, so I believe that if I'm going to teach something, I'm going to be the best example of it as I can.
100%. Can you give a couple examples of maybe what a little touchstone into that prosperity would be? Because I know that I know my audience is going to be like, well, okay, what can I be doing?
Yeah. I have stuff that I created that I read. So something it would be like something as simple as in giving that we receive. So if you need to receive, then what are you giving? And if you're giving, what are you going to give? And are you receiving enough? Are you allowing, you making sh make sure you allow yourself to receive that you can, you know? And then I'll just go on like a brain worm of, okay, let's play with that for a minute. And where is that going to fit? And what is society doing in their prosperity? So I'll start with that worm. And then what is society doing with the prosperity? Oh, they're in Poopyville. Oh yeah, they're in lack mentality right now. And then I write an article. So that's, and so whatever I'm doing, I'm going to share that out in some unique way so that somebody else can get value or benefit, or I'll record an audio, or a video, or make a note of recording a video later in the day. But I don't speak to a soul until 10:30 in the morning.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Yeah, that is a rule. And that started after my husband died, and all of the companies I was helping grow, they were on the East Coast and they were at 6:30. And after the last one left, after I got rid of them and helped them do their journey, I was like, I don't care if they're at 6:30 in the morning. You do not get to talk to me until it's after 10:30 my time. This is just the way life is. And so that has become the law.
Good for you.
The other day I broke it for a minute, but rarely over the past many years, I hardly ever break it. Yeah. So that kind of starts the day. And of course then emails and all those kind of things. But yeah, I'm kind of I do a lot in a short amount of time.
Yeah. That's, to me, that's the best. Just batch it all. And then you have freedom the rest of the time. That is awesome. Let's go on to the E. The E stands for environment. And we were talking a little bit before we started the show, like where you're sitting and where your place is. How do you set up your environment so that it is the best, most energetically pleasing, let's say, to you and for the things that you need to get done?
Obviously I make sure I deal with the energy in the environment before I start. That is one of the rituals in the morning, is make sure that I clean up the energy of the house or even the office. Like all the staff knows, like, oh yeah, make sure the energy in the office is really clean before Siobhan walks in. So they know. And they've gotten sensitive to it so that they can tell, which is awesome.
That's cool.
And so the environment is special, it's sacred, it's important, it has to be, you know, cleaned up to, you know, kind of zenny, so to speak. But if people come into my home or my offices, everybody wants to stay because it is set up to really let you be you, let you be the best you possible. And so many healings happen by that mechanism. So environment's essential.
Yeah, for sure. So the R in herb is resources. Resources could be anything from a book, a program, a person, whatever. What are some of the resources that have really impacted you along your journey and that you might recommend to others?
You know, I'm going to give a resource my dad gave me, probably some of the best advice that gets to be spread worldwide is, if you're feeling mad, sad, worried, afraid, misunderstood, don't know where to go, don't know what to do, you're being too shy, whatever that is, go feed somebody, go hug somebody, go teach somebody, or make somebody laugh.
I love that.
And I look to do that every day. And even if the only person I'm going to make laugh is me,
is yourself,
then I'm going to look at making somebody laugh. But we have a charity. We do all of those. That is the tenet of all of our business. So that's a really important resource. This sounds ludicrous, but I actually read my own memes.
That's okay.
Because it's something that I would want to know. So why wouldn't,
right.
I read my own memes. That's a really good resource. I scroll through and I'm like, oh yeah, that was a good one. Yeah. I remember when I wrote that one, that was a good one. So they remind me of what I have wanted to share. And then I get to get fed back by that. What's another resource?
Let me ask you, while you're thinking of the other ones, where can people find those memes that you yourself read?
Oh, yeah.
Because you know they're going to want to know. They're going to hear you talk about that. And they're like, I want to go see those.
I didn't think about that. They're not on Instagram, by the way. I handle Instagram, and I'm not very good at it. So you can see.
I'm not either. So it's all good.
They're not on it. So they're on Facebook. They're on my Siobhan Moran Facebook. And then this other giant Facebook page I have that's called @Siobhan.
And okay, I'll link to both of those things so they can find them.
They're in there. And then resources, books. You know, there's a book I wrote that I use regularly, like daily, called Dancing with the Divine. And I wrote it so that there are different aspects of the divine that are there as resources, true resources for us, that will make us actually more intellectual, more streamlined, more focused, more breathy, more, you know, more of us. And so I use that pretty much every day. Yeah.
That is awesome. I have not read that. And I love, because most of the time I'm a huge book nerd. So people will say, oh, I love this book. And it's like, oh, great. Yeah, me too. But I haven't read that one. So thank you for a new resource.
Welcome.
I'm excited to read that.
I don't read a lot of books. I really focus on a couple, and it's really interesting that I only focus on a couple that are really deep and I can keep going back to. You know, people say, oh, have you read this? And I'm like, no.
Well, you know, there's that conversation of like, there's breadth and then there's depth.
Yeah,
so
I'm in the depth.
Yeah, for sure. That's awesome. So moving on to the B in herb, this is the last part. It stands for beliefs. What are some of your beliefs or worldviews that have really helped establish everything that you have created in your life, or even just the way in which you feel on a day-to-day basis?
One of the beliefs is you get to choose. You get to choose where you're going.
Yes, yes.
You get to choose who you're being. You get to choose anything you want. And we are too deficient in our choice power. I was talking with my daughter.
Yes, I love that.
Last night, and I was like, listen, you get to choose. And so choose, like choose big, use your choose muscles and choose, man, choose. Beliefs. I believe that anybody has the ability to heal themselves. I've helped thousands of people do it.
And you've done it yourself.
And I've done it myself. It's just, you need to know the process and you need to not dabble. And most people dabble.
Do you mean by dabbling, like trying a little bit of like a lot of different
things?
A
little this and a little that, and I'll apply this over here. And then I hear from people, why isn't this working? It's like, well, you haven't used the whole system. You haven't really allowed the system to be used so that it works truly in your favor. I mean, the people who want to be masterful are the people who don't dabble. Mm-hmm. And so I believe that people who want to be masterful don't dabble. I also believe that your body is your temple. I knew that before I got sick and nearly died, but I didn't like know it. Yeah. but the body is the temple. And if you have this amazing machine that we don't take care of in a way that is sensical, meaning sensical to the machine, we put the wrong fuel in it. I'm not even talking about food, actually. I'm actually talking about the wrong, like the stuff you read, or the stuff you allow in, the stuff you believe. And I believe everybody needs to release the rigidity every day. Rigidity release every day, because we as humans like comfort. Yes. And we like to get set in our ways. And yes, rigidity is one of the most challenging things for humans to let go of.
How do you let it go? How do you release it?
Exactly, right? So there's a really cool thing that yogis teach, that the ancient yogis used to teach, is you can bend as far as your mind will let you go. So if you bend and then you decide to, let's just say these words, I'm going to be 1%. Now, most people want to do more than 1%, but trust me, 1% is fine. I'm going to be 1% less rigid. And then you bend back again, or you bend again, and you will be less, you will bend further and further and further. So if you are not doing something on a regular basis to move your body to be less rigid, your mind will still continue to be rigid. So the mind and the body and the rigidity actually go hand in hand. We do this in our business. We get really rigid about a thing, right? And then something like AI comes, it's like, woo, oh, and we still fall back into our rigid traps. And so I'm always of the belief in the mind that we want to explore something new, even if it's ludicrous, just to see if we're being rigid in our own ways of being or living business or doing business, of being a good human out in the world. Are we being rigid in who we say yes to and who we say no to? Are we being rigid in not letting go of something, right? Like an idea or pattern or an attitude. And yes, those happen every day. So I work on that every day.
I really like how you just talked about that as almost setting it up as an experiment. Like, just see mm-hmm. if we are still rigid in that space, or if there's a yeah. little bit more 1% that we could kind of bend into. That's awesome. I've actually seen a yoga teacher do that, where she was in the splits and then she did whatever she told herself, and then she was able to go in further. And I was like, yeah. that's amazing, because yeah. wow. So yeah, definitely have seen that. Yeah. Tell me this. Yeah. If you were thinking about someone in our audience that is listening to us now, a lot of these folks are aspiring entrepreneurs, early stage entrepreneurs, and I know that many of them are in it, in the struggle of it, in the hard parts of it. If you could yeah. give them just a piece of inspiration or advice, what might you say to them?
I'd say put your phone down. And I'd say go and talk to 20 people. And they're going to say, well, what about? And what do I say? And how do I do it? And what am I going to do
with that?
And la, la, la,
yes,
la.
Yes.
And the reason I say go talk to 20 people is because we get away from speaking to somebody and hearing and getting feedback for our business. And those people, while they may be of zero value in the what you have an idea that they can help you with or not help you with, they will give you something back that you didn't understand that you needed. So talk to 20 people. Talk to 20 people and be curious. How are you? What's happening in your day? Are you having a good day? And then they start grumping around, and then you want to run, because you're trying to be positive, and you have to get a little bit more curious. I do. I tend to say things like, Oh, I don't know. I'm having the best life ever. You want to play? And I get a little stupid.
No, it's awesome.
But I look to see what I can give to somebody so that I don't know if something is going to come back in an exact way, that rigidity release thing.
Right.
And that something beautiful is going to happen. And I don't know what that will be. And it could be magical. So let it happen. But talk to 20 people. Do look at other people outside of your industry. So let's say you're a coach. Go to a meeting on, let's say, alternative investing. And I don't mean to go and learn. I just mean to go and listen to how they talk. Go to something like architectural. Go and go to learn about how a wastewater treatment. I'm just telling you stuff that I've done.
I love it.
a wastewater treatment is run. You know, go do things that are completely contradictory to who you are and how you would be, only because I promised you at some point in time you will be inspired, one, by the story, two, by an idea, or find a whole new business idea that you didn't know that you had within you. I'm going to give one more piece. And this is how I started many businesses. So please write this down. I used to have a little notebook about the size of my iPhone. I've just recently given up the notebook and gone to notes, but
digital.
I like my handwritten things. And write five ridiculous ideas for businesses every day. Five ridiculous ideas for businesses every day. Now, it doesn't mean you're going to do them. It doesn't mean you're going to start them. It doesn't mean you're going to do anything other than what it does is actually starts to take these really interesting things off the sides of our eyes and our blinders. And it actually gets us to think and be available to new clients and opportunities and business ideas and marketing and things that we would never allow ourselves to be part of. But I have started businesses from that. I started one 3 days ago from this idea that I wrote down. So yeah.
Of course you did.
I know, right? I didn't
mean to.
That
is awesome. So I have a challenge for anyone out there listening. If you have an idea for a ridiculous business that you would start, I encourage you to come to lucra.com, to the show notes on this episode, and put it in the comments, because I would love, love, love to see what people's ridiculous ideas are. I mean, really, as you said, you don't have to do the business, but I'd be fascinated and very curious to know what you all are thinking. So Siobhan, this has been amazing. I could talk to you for hours and hours and hours. However, if people who are listening are like, you know what, I'd really like to look her up, I'd really like to know more about what she's doing and maybe get in touch, where should they go online to learn more about you?
Yeah. Go to SiobhanMoran.com, SiobhanMoran.com.
Perfect. I will link to that so you all can have direct access to learn more about this amazing woman and her work. Siobhan, thank you so much. It's truly an honor to hang out with you again. I love talking to you. I really, really appreciate your time and especially what you had to share with this audience. So thank you.
Thanks, Mindy.
Thanks ever so much for listening. Whenever you're ready, here are three ways I can help you create a more lucrative life. One, subscribe for free to my lucrative newsletter for weekly insights on business, money, and mindset. Two, join Club Lucra to connect with a like-minded community so that you don't have to go it alone. Three, work with me one-on-one to chart the course from where you are to where you want to be. Everything you need is at lucra.com. That's LUCRA.com. Lucra, where wealth equals well-being.